All right.
It has been so far, ain't it?
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord on this March the 1st, 2020, year of our Lord. And it's good to be saved.
Yes.
I'm not just saved. Praise God, I'm enjoying being saved. Man, it's a good time to be saved. If the world, it'd be great if we could just take out samples and pass them out. But if the world could just see what they're missing out on, I tried to correspond with this idiot on the internet right before I left the house. And he'd come off with a bunch of pathetic propaganda, just really bad, just real sarcastic. And I said, maybe one of these days God will open up your eyes and your story will change to one that's wondrous, because it is wonderful to be saved and wondrous to know the Lord personally. And when I say personally, I could mention President Trump. We could all say, yeah, I know him. And I say, well, do you know him personally? No, I don't know him personally. Well, it's wonderful to know the Lord personally.
Amen.
And to know that He knows us personally, because He knows His sheep. He calls His sheep by name. Mm-hmm. And wonderful to be saved. Great time to be saved. A lot of things going on right now. I'm of the persuasion that we finished up Proverbs chapter 14 last Sunday. And I do want to read, I know we got to verse 34, but I do want to read verse 35 real quick. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him because of shame. The king wants people around him that are prominent, trustworthy, some he could put some confidence in or whatever. The king's favor. The king loves to have wise servants, but he gets mad when he's got those that causes him shame. And I'm going to say the king deal with them too. And I just want to finish that last verse there. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I want to go to God in prayer real quick. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. Thank You for Your precious word.
Yes.
Lord, I pray today that God, You'll open Your words to us. I thank You, Father, for the day You opened Your words to me and made Your words known to me. I thank You, Father, for the day You put Your word in my heart. And Lord, gave me a treasure house. I thank You for that. I pray, God, today You'll bless the teaching of Your word.
Yes.
I pray, God, You'll help us, Lord, today to be able to understand the length and the breadth and the depth of the word of God. Lord, we just pray, God, today You'd be honored in this Sunday school lesson. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's an easy verse to teach.
Yeah.
The latter part of that verse is kind of like throwing gasoline on a fire.
Yeah.
But that soft answer. Me and Brother Donnie was going down the road and it was playing this song. And in that song, actually it was a preacher, Harry Nix. And he was talking about when he got saved. And he said about 3 acres of heaven came down in my soul. And I was telling Donnie that I'd heard all of his testimony. And in his testimony, he'd been making promises to his wife that he'd go to church with her. And like me, just dodging it, but you know, kind of procrastinating in it and taking it as far as he could take it.
Yeah.
And he told her he'd go to church with her that Sunday night. And that Sunday night came, and of course that yellow streak came, and cold feet came. And he told his wife, he said, I'll go next Sunday, honey. And she sat down on the steps of her house and went to crying. And he said, I couldn't do nothing with it. He said, okay, I surrender. I'll go with it. He ended up getting saved. But she could have, just the opposite, instead of a soft answer, she could have scorned him. She could have said, you promised me you'd go. You know, she just wept. And that softness of that weeping melted that old calloused heart. And even though he didn't want to go, he went and ended up getting saved. Great preacher, one of the greatest preachers I guess I've ever heard preach. Harry Nix, great man of God. But a lot of men fit that category. There wasn't in no hurry to get saved. Next verse. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge all right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Someone that's saved, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is beginning to wisdom. Amen. Someone that's saved would be considered someone that's wise. They had enough sense to get saved, and they're able to handle the word. They're able to rightly divide it. They're able to put it in context. But you take someone, you know, that's not saved, they've got, the Bible talks about, they've got a form of godliness but deny the power thereof in works. Notice that scripture in Titus. They profess they know God, but in works. Brother Ed was commenting right before Sunday school class about how our life is like a Bible to the world. We're living epistles. And the world looks at us and they either take note we've been with Jesus,
right,
or they call us a fool that thinks we've been with Jesus. But in Titus there, Titus chapter 1 verse 16, it's kind of a good and a sad verse too. They profess that they know God, but in works. You know, works need to line up. Somebody sees me drinking, and I say I'm saved, they say it just don't add up.
Right.
Someone sees me with someone else's wife, and I say I'm saved, it just don't add up. But in works it says they deny Him being abominable and disobedient and under every good work reprobate. You see, it'll add up. And you know, the fool, he makes some kind of lame excuse, you know, and I've met some of them. And they use that excuse to justify the means of what they do. And you know what? They're fooling themselves, but they ain't fooling nobody else. You know what I mean?
Brother, that's one of the ways that I know I'm saved. I like foolishness when I was lost.
Me too.
I think
that's a good point.
And when I got saved, I don't want to be around that foolishness anymore.
Amen.
You know.
Right.
That's
a good point. And you know, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Created under good works.
I know that I've been saved because I don't want to be around all that foolishness anymore.
That's good, brother. If God began to work in us.
Yes.
And He's still working on us.
Every day.
Well, I believe it's Philippians. Being confident of this, He had begun a good work in you, would continue to the day of Jesus. I believe it's Philippians chapter 2. Actually, that's probably Philippians chapter 1. Because it talks about in Philippians chapter 2 that we are His workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the one I'm looking for, being confident of this, He's begun a good work in you, will continue to the day of Christ. And He's still working on us. A lot of people...
Brother.
Huh?
Yeah, He's still molding us, brother.
Yeah, a lot of people, He's got further along in the work. And sometimes, you know, the clay's not conformable. It's contentious. It don't allow the hand of God to mold it and make it. He's the potter with the clay. Shoot, I'm looking for this verse and talking at the same time. I can quote the verse. That's one thing about it. I'm glad I got the Word of God in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Thought I had it marked. That old Bible, I had it also highlighted in here. There wasn't no way not to find nothing. Here you go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And God's working on us. And I used to be a fool. Some things, you know, I didn't understand. Made a mess. But I've had my understanding enlightened. And, you know, able to see a whole lot more clearly now. But the tongue of the wise useth knowledge. All right. Lord brought scripture in my mind real quick there. I think it's Hebrews chapter 5. And this is, I think Paul wrote this. He may not have, but I've of the persuasion I believe he did. Just reading a lot of Paul's epistles and the letters to churches and stuff. Here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, this is kind of a rebuke, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become of such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, more says Sharon, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. You see, when I first got saved, I fell in the category of Peter, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But now I've been moved up. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, like Brother Ed said, they spent some time in their Bible, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yeah.
The wise, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge all right. Here's a bad example, but it'll fit right here. There's a group called Sound Doctrine, and boy, they're good. They're actually the ones that wrote that song that's got Harry Nicks in the background. If you've ever listened to King King's Radio, they'll play it every now and then.
Yeah.
And that's Harry Nicks you hear in the background. That's him. Talking about the preacher. The guy called him to preach, and he said, about 3 acres of heaven come down in my soul. That's Harry Nicks. Well, Sound Doctrine broke up because of doctrine. See what I mean? If you don't rightly divide the Word of God, you may just say anything you want it to say.
Yes, you can.
That's why it's important to have wisdom. I pray over it a lot. I say, Lord, I don't understand, but I want to. And here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge. Well, actually, it's that all right. A right. But the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. Some people were. I heard a man preach on the radio one time. He took a scripture out of Matthew chapter 24 and really used it very, very wrong, where it talks about he that endureth at the end shall be saved. And he's on the radio preaching to whoever, and he said, my Bible says he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He took Matthew 24 verse 13, and that is true.
Yeah.
It just don't pertain to the church age.
That's right.
That's during the tribulation. During the tribulation, here's what you'll have to do since you turned down the grace of God. You'll have to do this. You'll have to keep the Ten Commandments. Good luck. You'll have to have the testimony of Jesus Christ during the time of the Antichrist. Good luck.
That's
and
right.
You'll have to love not your life unto death, and you'll be beheaded. So I don't want to endure to the end. I'm glad I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
Hey, I ain't enduring. I'm enjoying. I hope you get that just like I said it. I'm enjoying being saved.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I do endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord. There's some things I am not going to do. And there's some things, you know, I have to admit through growth in the Lord that I don't have no problem doing. But when I first got saved, I'll tell you right now, buddy, I was so strict that I was actually driving people away from the Lord.
Yes, you can do that.
And I actually did compromise a little bit just to win my dad to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might by some means save some. He said, you know, to the Jew I became a Jew, to the Gentile, to the Greek I became a Greek or Gentile. He's a wise soul winner. You know, if I wanted to win a fisherman to the Lord, I might have to fish with him. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to win a deer hunter to the Lord, I might have to hunt with him. I ain't going to do no drinking, don't get me wrong, but there's some cases that I will
I think sometimes as young Christians, Brother Eddie, we forget that our Savior became one of us in order to give us in. You know,
he made in our likeness.
Yes, he came down here in our likeness.
In all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Yes.
That's a good point, Brother Ed. Fits right in there good. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. One reason I want to hit on that latter part, a lot of people, they lack understanding. This will fit pretty good right here too. Boy, the Holy Spirit's here this morning.
Amen.
I thank God for it.
Yeah.
Look in Acts 15. Now, these are saved people. In Acts 15, verse 1, and certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, brethren means they know the Lord, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, that's not true. Paul addressed that in Galatians and said, circumcision profits nothing.
Right.
Our circumcision, God circumcised our heart. And he done it without hands. It's mentioned in Colossians chapter 2, the circumcision made without hands, God circumcised our heart. Well, anyway, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in deputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So you got a controversy here. Somebody says you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. Paul and Barnabas says that ain't true. So they make a decision to go up to Jerusalem, get a second opinion, and being brought on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. When there had been much disputing, that sounded like a Baptist church, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. This is the key verse right here. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it's written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof, and set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles of whom the name of the Lord is, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, be it known unto God all his works from the beginning of the world. And we can read on, but I'll tell you right now, they had an argument.
Yeah.
And the reason they had an argument, they didn't understand. And that's why we got a Bible to help us understand.
Amen.
The tongue of the wise useth knowledge, aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. By the way, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved.
No.
I worked with a guy, Mike Killebrew, and boy, we had no small dissension. He came up to me, looked me right straight in the eye, And he said, some people says, I've got the eyes of the devil. I have to admit, his soul is pretty cold. And he said, in kind of threatening way, he said, I'm pronouncing a curse upon you, upon your family, upon your children. And I said, Mike, you're no threat to me physically. You're no threat to me spiritually. I said, I'm going to pray for you. You get saved. He got saved.
Amen.
Big time saved. I mean, still loves the Lord. Still living for God. But I'll tell you what, come up me, looked me right straight in the eye, and he said, I'm going to pronounce a curse upon you and your family. Hey, good luck. He had to go through the Holy Spirit and God to get to me. But anyway, I told him, I said, you no threat to me physically or spiritually. He's the same size I was. Don't get me wrong, but I just got saved. I wasn't caring too much back then on anything. I still had a little bit of old man in me. Well, anyway, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. They make a mess of things. And,
yeah.
And somebody that knows the Word of God, knows God personally, comes by and tries to clear it up. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There ain't nothing that God's eye misses.
Amen.
There's not a sparrow that falls that His eye doesn't see.
That's right.
He said we're more valuable than many sparrows. I want to make sure I get down to verse number 9. That's my goal today. We're going to spend a while on verse number 9.
Yeah, okay.
But the eyes of the Lord. You know, Adam was hid. And you know what? God not only knew he was hid, but he knew why he was hid.
Yeah.
When he called out, Adam, where art thou? Even though it's not in the Word of God, Adam said, I'm hid. He could have very easily said, I'm in sin. I'm hiding from you.
Right.
And anyway, God brought all that out. But that woman that touched Jesus, the Bible says, when she saw, she was not hid. I'm going to say, Jesus looking right straight at her saying, who touched me? And I'll say, Lord, the multitude thrown be, and says thou who touched thee? She saw she wasn't hid. He's looking straight at her.
Yeah.
And the reason he wanted her to testify so the rest of them get some of what she got.
Amen.
She'd already believed if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole.
That's right.
Let me see if I can find this verse.
That's good.
Let me see if I can find this verse. I'll be lucky to find it. But if I can, here you'll see why that he wanted her to bring it out. I have to admit, I got a lot of liberty of teaching up here this morning.
I love it when the Holy Spirit comes through.
Me too. Makes a whole lot easier on the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't where I thought it was. Let's go to Mark. I thought it was in John. Now, she got her miracle in Mark 5. Let me see if I can find it this way. Q. Says Luke 17. Let's try that. That's not it neither. I'll just tell you this, that a lot of people came and touched his garment and were made whole.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for that verse. Wonder where they got that thought from. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was important that she testified. Here we go. Hold on a minute here. May have found it here. It's right there at the end of one of the chapters. Because I remember thinking, well, I know why they done that. Here you go. Matthew 14. And this is important. See, Jesus, he looked upon this woman. She saw she wasn't hid, and she came forward and gave testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So in Matthew 14, there at Gennesaret, which is where he just cast out the devils out of that man. Look here at verse 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Look at 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. See what I'm talking about? How they had that ripple effect?
Perfectly whole.
Perfectly whole. Yeah, that's what he did for me. He made the captain of my salvation perfect through suffering.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly whole. I knew I'd find that if I struggled and looked hard enough. But them little old verses like that right there are so important for us. See, in Matthew chapter 9, and we was in Matthew 15, in Matthew chapter 9, here's this woman, and she's acting on her faith. And, you know, not only did she give testimony and praise, but other people caught wind of it, and they done the same thing that she did in Matthew 15. All right, let's get back to where we was here.
You know, when I read in the Bible about Jesus doing miracles of people, one thing that sticks out in my mind when it says, instantly,
yeah,
God did it instantly.
Maybe.
He ain't no wait until tomorrow or the next day. If he touches a person's body in this Bible, instantly they're healed.
That's true.
And I tell you, that just that little word.
Instantly. If he does it, you're absolutely right, Brother Ed.
Yes.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
We're in Proverbs chapter 15, and we've only got the three verses, and I'm dying to get down to verse number 9.
Okay.
So, the eyes of the Lord are in every place.
Yes.
There's nothing hid from the Lord. There's no such thing as a secret sin. Knowing that God knows all things, there's only one course of action. That's to go and say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. That's the best case scenario. The other side of that is when God has to bring it out and you have to confess your sin. It's actually a whole lot better to take God's way than Achan's way when they had to draw lots. And then Joshua had to confront him and say, confess your sin. He said, I took the gold wedge, the piece of silver, and the Babylonian's garment and hid them underneath my tent. And they all died, including Achan, his wife, his children, all his cattle and animals. They all died. The best way is God's way. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You take Ananias and Sapphira. They've been better off and said, hey, we sinned. We thought we'd pull this thing off. And the Holy Spirit struck them both dead. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Have you ever met somebody you couldn't believe a word they said?
Yeah.
I mean, you said, you can't believe a word he says. And, you know, it takes a long time to develop a reputation of someone, you know, that's trustworthy. But a wholesome tongue, if you can become trustworthy, people put confidence in you. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That means someone to come to you and say, I got a question, and I believe you can help me with the answer of it. That's a wholesome tongue. But perverseness, that means you can't put any stock in anything they say. Matter of fact, you'd be better off to talk to the tree or the rock. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. I didn't know my name was in the Bible. I wished I'd listened to my dad. My dad tried to tell me right. He did. And I learned everything the hard way. And here I am trying to tell my son now. And he'll do anything except what I say. But a fool despiseth his father's instruction. By the way, we got a heavenly father that instructs us also. And I was that kind of fool for 34 years. Like Brother Ed said immediately, praise God, he made me whole. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That means he gives it a second thought. The Lord gave one of the parables, son, go work in my vineyard today.
Yeah.
And one said, I'll go and didn't go. And the other said, I won't go and did. Yeah. Well, he gave it second thought and he said, you know what? It'd probably be, you know, his father said, son, go work my vineyard today. And he said, I'll go and didn't. And the next one said, I ain't going, but he did. Well, you know, he gave second thought. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. He went ahead and went. Hey, Brother Mitchell, Sister Phyllis. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. This is kind of a verse like, you know, what I've got in my home, a lot of people wouldn't consider it to be a treasure. It's photos and little knickknacks and stuff. I remember seeing a movie one time, and it was about Richie Rich. And all these people was trying to break in. They wanted to get all the wealth of these wealthy parents of Richie Rich. And they broke into this safe, and the only thing in there was some memories of his childhood. That was their greatest treasure. I mean, they got, you know, they got overpowered and had to open up that safe, and all was in there was these mementos, you know, of their son's youth. Right. And in our house, you know, we've got treasures. The world, they don't see them as treasures, fellas. But in us, I mean, we wouldn't take nothing for them. But in the revenue, if you'll notice that latter part of that verse, and you know, you don't have to have a lot to have treasure if you're saved.
Right.
And it says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Hey, I even treasure having a home. Yeah. Donnie was kind of come across this morning about getting depressed by his home. I said, hey, brother, you got a roof over your head.
Amen.
Count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Right.
And he will surprise you what the Lord have done. But in the revenues, now that's money. That's different.
Right.
But in the wealth, you could say. But in the revenue of the wicked is trouble.
Right.
They get robbed. They get killed. They'd be better off not to have the revenue.
That's right.
Because it ends up, they end up, like I said, losing their life, much harm. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. I'm glad, praise God. God said He'd rebuke, you know, the pestilence. He'd rebuke the devourer. He'd rebuke the thief for our sake. You ever notice how some thieves, I heard this song called He Knows My Name. Anybody heard that on King King's Radio?
Yeah.
He talked about that guy come up there and got a hold of that doorknob. And he let go. He said he beat the person in front of him to death, one in front of him, I think, to death, and the car behind him to death. But he said when he got a hold of that doorknob, even though he had on a, you know, he said it's a true story, he said even though he had on a mask, he said he got a hold of that doorknob, see, he let go. What happened? See what I mean, boy?
Yeah, right.
There's a, God makes a difference
concerning
us.
That's right.
I like it.
Amen.
That's been true in my whole life.
Yeah.
There have been several times I've been spared just because of God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I'm glad to have it too. Yeah, I'm going to make it. But in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Some people wouldn't consider it treasure, but it's treasure to us.
Right.
But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so.
Right.
The Bible says, hold on a minute there. He that winneth souls is wise. I had two verses come to my mind right there. But he that winneth souls is wise. They know how to present the gospel. They know how to plant the seed. They know how to water the seed. They're, you know, a soul winner. They don't just happen.
No.
It takes a lot of exposure. It takes a lot of experience, training. I watched my pastor forever. Watched him. I watched how he conducted himself. I watched how he refrained to go so far in some things.
Mm-hmm.
He that winneth souls is wise.
Mm-hmm.
The lips of the wise disperse not. He knew how to get to where he was going, even with all the obstacles that were being thrown at him.
Amen.
He still stayed on track, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
I took knowledge, but I tell you what, now I remembered how he was able to have success.
Amen.
Even with all the excuses, all the lame things that's been said, he stayed focused. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. They don't know, not only they don't know where they're saved or where they're going, but they don't know how to help anybody else neither. I mean, they got enough problems of their own. But anyway, the heart of the foolish doeth not so. They can't disperse knowledge. They got questions. You know, science, so-called science, think they've got answers. They've got more questions than they got answers. And you'd be surprised how many scientists have been saved trying to disprove the Bible and found so much truth in there, they had to raise up a white flag and admit they was wrong, God was right. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. A lot of people, when it talks about the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, they don't search the Scriptures whether to see whether it's so or not, like they did in Acts 17:11. But they say, that's all I know. We've been taught this all my life. My grandma, my grandpa, this is the way I've been brought up. Look, that don't make it right. Paul said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? You're saved by grace through what?
That's right. Faith.
Where's faith come from?
Faith.
Romans 10:17.
Yeah. By hearing.
Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah.
The foundation of faith will never be rocked or removed as long as using the Bible for that foundation.
Amen.
God's right. Given us Amen. A foundation.
Yes, yes.
Without that Bible, I'd be in here just hearsay. Hey, I've heard it. I've heard this. I don't have nothing to back it up.
Yeah.
But I'd be hearsay. I'd say, you know, I heard this said one time. I don't know whether it's right or not. I'm glad that we've got a foundation.
Amen.
The Bible said if a foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And I'm glad we've got a sure foundation. You know, and there's no other foundation to build on except Christ. But with that foundation, we don't have to worry about the sacrifice of the wicked's abomination of the Lord. They're saying, let's just go this route real quick. The Mormons, they believe that the Jehovah Witness, not Jehovah Witness, they believe that, come on, Nitty. Joseph Smith, that's what I was trying to spit out. They believe that Joseph Smith was visited by an angel, told where these 10 golden tablets were buried. He went and dug them up. The angel interpreted them. He wrote them all down. That's where the Book of Mormon came from. Now, with that in mind, just jump real quick to Galatians with me. Paul here might as well say he's speaking to the Mormon church. I hope, if you're a Mormon listening to this, I hope you do this yourself. So, an angel comes to Joseph Smith and says, hey, there's some golden tablets built, buried out here, and you need to go dig them up and I'll interpret them for you, and then you can write the Book of Mormon. Well, Paul addressed the church in Galatia, and he starts out in Galatians chapter 1, and he said, I marvel that you are so soon, I'm in verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now look what he is, pretty strong context here. But look what he says in verse 8. But though we, talking about himself,
yeah.
He said, even if I do this, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Me and Brother Ed was talking about curse, earth being cursed and Noah putting a curse on his son Ham. He says, let him be accursed. He said, if they bring anything to you but Christ, let them be cursed. As we said before, verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He went on, and it's kind of boastful now. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, he put it in strong context right there.
Yes, he did.
But look right here. The way of the wicked. There's a lot of people going that way.
That's right.
And you know, a lot of cults down here, and I don't really want to get into a name calling here, but a lot of cults down here just don't line up, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The way of the wicked, wait a minute, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. I didn't look up this verse, but it came to my mind right now. Paul talked about in the church of Corinth, he said some sacrifice some of the devils. They don't know no better.
No, that's right.
And here it talks about the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The prayer of a child that's innocent in their heart, the prayer of one that's been redeemed, that knows in their heart who they're praying to, and they know them personally, the prayer of the upright is His delight. Jesus talked about the true worshipers in John chapter 4. They worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth delights the Lord. Now, I've worked hard to get to verse number 9, and I'm going to be a while here. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord.
Amen.
But he that loveth Him, that followeth after righteousness. But he loveth Him that followeth after righteousness. I'll say that right now. Okay, that key word in this verse, abomination. Leviticus, we're going to go there. Leviticus chapter 18. And the reason I'm going there, because we've got a lot of stuff going on down here today that ought not be going on.
Right.
And I think it's through ignorance.
Amen.
But in Leviticus chapter 18, well, come on, Eddie. I'll find it here in a minute. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22, and this is strong. But it's God doing the speaking here. And God says in Leviticus 18, verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Look over in Leviticus right. chapter 20.
Amen.
Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That just means they know better.
Yeah, that's right.
And even though they know better, they still do what they know better than to do. God said they need to be put to death. Now, we don't put people to death today, but they're going to be put to death.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, death, it's no respecter of persons. Death comes to all. And I was telling Donnie, I said, I'm way up here, praise God. We was talking about a great sister of the Lord, Sister Peggy Chris. And Donnie said, I can't believe they cremated. I said, well, praise God, at least the soul and the spirit had exited the body. Right. And there wasn't nothing left but the carcass to burn. Because
right.
to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What's keeping my body alive right now, looking out of the eye gate of my soul through my eyes, and my spirit, my soul in this body, it's going to be gone. I don't care what you do with my body. But this abomination, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Let's go back to the very beginning. God looked up here in Genesis chapter 2, He's done made man. And in verse 18, He said, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meant for him. Now, He didn't make Adam and Steve.
That's right.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, to see what He would call them. Adam wasn't stupid. You know, you see these pictures of Neanderthal man, they look like they're missing a brain, head flat. Look here. Adam, He brought them to Adam to see what He'd call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam named every creature. He ain't stupid.
Yes, he
and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help met for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. We got people down here now doing anesthesiology and they get paid big time money. Yeah. But this was free. God done it better than they ever thought they could do it, but they learned it from God.
Right.
God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. We got people down here now do surgery on you now. They call them Dr. Ready. They're ready to cut on you in a heartbeat. And they'll send you a bill for it. And you'll spend the rest of your life trying to pay for it. God didn't charge Adam to put him to sleep. He didn't charge Adam to do this surgery. In verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he another man?
A woman.
A woman. Mm-hmm. And brought who? We got gender identity problems today. What is that?
Right.
And brought what?
A man.
Brought her. Brought her unto the man. You notice the difference there?
Yeah.
I'm in Genesis 2:22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought
right.
her unto the man. That's I want right. you to notice that.
Amen.
Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. This is one named all the animals and the fowls of the air.
Right.
This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She. Do you notice that? Put the gender in there.
Right. Right.
She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Somebody said he got that rib right next to the heart. I don't know. Been married to my wife 44 years and she is dear to my heart. Anybody put up with me that long, I'm pretty fond of it, I can tell you right now.
Amen.
She was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother. Notice that male and female.
Right.
And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. Again, there's male and female, and we're not ashamed. Let me say this. The LGBT is not an extension but an abomination to the Lord God. Look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 19. You know, Jesus kind of, he always got put on the spot. And he didn't mind being put on the spot.
No.
But I like the way he started when he got put on the spot there in Matthew chapter 19. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. I'm in Matthew 19:3. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife forever? Cause now, understand this, they're tempting him. Look at his answer. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? That's enough right there.
Yeah, it is.
He said, have ye not read? That he which made them in the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. I like this part too. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's a lot of clarity right there to the abomination that I was talking about in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. And the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. I hit quite a bit on that at Bethel Church Sunday night. Some of you were there, and you know, it wasn't pleasant, but that's what's going on today. Is preachers don't say anything. They don't address this issue at all. And one day they're going to call old Brother Eddie hate speech, and I'm okay with that because I'm going with the Word of God. I'm going with the God of the Word. One day I got to answer to God, and I want it to be as pleasant as I can. I like to hear Him say, well done. I like to hear Him say, you've done a good job.
Yeah.
Holding the front line. But I don't want to be one of them with lace on their underwear that's afraid to mention about this abomination.
That's right.
In our day and time, it's got so bad, they're ordaining gays and lesbians into the church.
Yeah, they are.
That's how bad it can get. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. They don't have to be that way.
That's right.
One more thing and I'll stop. I know we're running out of time. Look in I think it's 2 Corinthians. No, it's 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They both have good context to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're a gay or lesbian person out there listening by way of internet, well, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul here talking to the church at Corinth. He starts there in verse number 9. Know ye not, that's a problem, they ain't read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus said, have ye not read?
Right.
So Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. A lot of people are deceived today. They believe in things that ain't right. The reason they are is because they haven't read the Bible. They don't know no better. And that's no excuse for what they're doing. They're just in denial of still searching the truth and trying to follow after truth. They're just allowing this to continue. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers. Boy, that's hard to say. Nor effeminate. Now, effeminate is kind of what I'm talking about in this category of abomination. Effeminate. That's someone's attracted to the same sex. Effeminate. No abusers of himself of mankind. That covers it all. There's nothing left out right there in those latter part of that verse. Effeminate, no abusers of himself of mankind. No thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This next verse is a key verse. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. The feminine can be, they can be saved. They can be, they can come out
yes.
of this abomination.
That's right.
They can come into the family of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They can come out. They just don't want to. And other lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. They love darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light. I'll tell you right now, buddy. I got 2 minutes here real quick. In Romans chapter number 1, it talks about in verse 20, they're without excuse. And it talks about they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind.
Amen.
To those things which are not convenient. What's that talking about, Brother Eddie? Well, it's talking about starting in verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They said, it's okay. No, it's not. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, not the Creator.
Right.
More than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave him up to vile affections.
Mm-hmm.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I'll tell you right now, buddy, Look at the last verse, and we'll stop. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the 50th year of gay pride.
Yeah, right.
I told my pastor, I thought that openly professing candidate, Pete Buttigieg, whatever his name is, it would probably end up being president. He said, no, he didn't think he would. But I'll tell you what, we're right for that. That's how far we are from where we used to be.
Amen.
And I tell you, buddy, it's kind of sad. I'll be preaching along those last days. We'll stop right there. That's a pretty good Sunday school lesson.
Yes, amen.